try to make for themselves something to fill this emptiness and this void. And a lot of times it's a sense of entitlement where I feel I'm always the victim and people owe me because of my circumstance. Number three is another cause of entitlement is the correction and consequence problem. The way we correct maybe bad behavior. And the purpose of consequences we should all keep in mind is to teach a lesson and not to punish. The purpose of the consequence is to teach a lesson. It's not simply to punish a child or somebody. If you look at the time of Judges in the Old Testament, maybe the weakest point in Israel's history, how does the Bible describe this in different occasions in the book of Judges? It says that in those days there were no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. This is exactly what the entitled person believes, is I can do what I want and what is right in my own eyes. But of course, this is a destructive type of behavior. In terms of correction and consequence, we have to also be cautious because there can be problems in two ways. Number one, sometimes in the way we correct our children or correct each other is specifically for our children. Sometimes we have those parents who will always make excuses for their children. When somebody says, oh, your child was doing so and so, they'll say, no, not my son. I know my son, I know my daughter. They would never do something like this. If we defend our children in every circumstance without investigating really and try, and we make everybody else a liar just to make my child the one who is right, what will this put in this child? The sense that I can do no wrong, right? I can do whatever I want, and mom and dad will always be on my side, and we even go after my teachers, go after the servants, go after everybody, so I will be right, right? So this will create in this child a sense of entitlement. I'm owed to be right. I'm owed this. The second is setting consequences without following through. Saying you're going to do something, and then the child does it, breaks the rule, and no consequences follow. This again trains the child that I can do what I want, and I won't be penalized for it, right? Whatever you say, you have to follow through. Even if you realize afterwards that this was too severe, but you have to follow through with it simply because to teach the child that no, the rules are the rules and there are consequences for breaking the rule. Because this is the reality, right? When we go in our works and we say these are the rules and these are the policies and procedures, when you break them, you can be terminated, right? And what happens when we break them? We can be warned 1, 2, 3 times and then we're terminated. This is how the world works, right? Disobeyed guidelines should be felt, or else they will never be followed. Disobeyed guidelines should be felt, or else they will never be followed. Again, if I were to tell you, you can do whatever you want at work and you'll never be fired, how many of us will show up on time? How many of us will be doing our job diligently? If I said all of us are going to the kingdom of heaven regardless of what sins you do, how many of us will strive to live a godly life? And how many of us will lean back and say, I can just carry on and everything will be hunky-dory and I'm going to the kingdom of heaven? Disobeyed guidelines should be felt, or else we'll never follow them. And this fact is evident throughout all scriptures. So what is the treatment? The treatment is the difficult way. The difficult way. What do I mean by the difficult way? It's doing what is best rather than what is comfortable to achieve a worthwhile goal. Doing what is best, not what is comfortable. Doing what needs to be done, not what is easiest for me. And this actually is exemplified in the Lord Jesus Christ himself, right? What is comfortable for him was to remain in heaven, but what was necessary to be done was to be incarnate, to take the form of humanity, to live in the worst way that we live, to be ridiculed, mocked, spat upon, and crucified on a cross. That's why he tells us about the way. He says, enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. He tells us the same thing. Take up your cross and follow me. The narrow way is the way of the cross, the way of struggle, right? The broad way is the way, the easy way, the comfortable way, the way that, you know, the majority, unfortunately, of people will choose to go. And if we look at this and we look at the human history, when you look at the narrow way and the broad way, and we consider the outcome, we'll find that the narrow way was the most prosperous. If you look at the wide gate, you'll find in the history of many kingdoms, for example, whether it be Rome, Greece, or the Medes and Persians, whatever it is, you'll find their downfall began when they began to be very lazy, lax, secure. You know, we're so great, we're so powerful. And then once they became so relaxed, they were left off, you know, off guard, and the enemy came and took them over. So the narrow way is the way, the only way for treating entitlement, whether it's in myself or in another one. So real quickly, what are the five principles of healing? And mind you, these five principles cannot be violated or ignored forever, and they cannot be ignored without cost. Okay, so either they're going to cost something if you ignore them, and they can't be ignored forever. Number one is humility and dependence. In the book of Acts, it says, "For him we live and move and have our being." We have to remember that we are in this world because God created it. He created it and invited us into the world to care for the world. We are not the masters of the world. We're not the creators of the world. He is, right? We have to remember this and keep this in mind. And our humility, remember that he's the creator and we're the created. It's not the opposite. Just because I make something, I develop something, I'm not the creator. None of us can create something out of nothing. Only God can create, can do this. This is humility, accepting the reality of who God is and who we are. And then number two is our dependence. You look to him for your sustenance and for your help. Of course, the entitled person doesn't believe this. The entitled person believes that we are our own boss. But we have to realize this, whether the hard way or the easy way. One is humility. And this is why the Lord teaches us, if you humble yourself, God will exalt you. And when you exalt yourself, what will happen? God will humble you, right? Because he is the creator and we are the created. Number two is the sense of connectedness. The entitled person doesn't have the sense of connectedness. And it is very important that we try to, whether it's in myself, to find connection, or if you notice it in another person, is to make them feel connected. Because we are, at the end of the day, we are designed to be connected with one another and each other. All of us have a deep desire to be loved and to be understood. And this can only happen through connectedness. I can't feel love and connectedness alone. I have to be in a family. I have to be in a community. And those who don't have it in the family will seek it outside. Why do you think people get involved in gangs? For the sense of family and connectedness. Even, yes, it's for the wrong reason and they do the wrong things. But it's for the sense of connectedness that we all desire. That's why in the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon tells us, "But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up." Woe to him who falls and has no one to help him up. The problem with entitlement and this sense of connectedness is twofold. One, entitledness objectifies people. It makes them as an object to fulfill my desire. And if you don't fulfill my desire, then I put your member in the it's not fair bin, right? But if you agree with me and do what I want, then this is great. But if not, it's not fair, right? Number two is in a connectedness is this unhealthy self-sufficiency. The entitled person will find or will be of the type where I don't need anybody. I can do things on my own. I don't need anybody. I can do things on my own. And if this is my sense, then you're greatly mistaken that you can do everything on your own. If you know somebody who has this, the idea here, the goal here is to get them to feel that no, we need each other. And do this in a loving manner, not in a judgmental manner, in a way that I'm looking down upon them. The third principle for healing is ownership. Ownership of my choices. In order for me to grow, I need to be able to take ownership for the choices that I make. And yes, we have to admit that God created us with a great deal of freedom in our life. Out of all the creatures in the world, He created us with the freedom, with freedom. He created us to freedom to think, to develop, to govern, all of these things, and to obey. What kind of engineer would create something that has the option to obey him or not? Imagine creating a computer and putting in the computer an ability to obey your command or not. So when you press enter, it says, no, I'm not going to press enter today. How would we feel with this kind of computer? We'd probably throw it out the window, right? Because it's not doing what we want it to do. Imagine doing all your paper and you hit save and it says, no, I'm not going to save. Then what? We'd be very angry. But God created us in a manner that we can disobey Him. Great sense of freedom. But with that freedom comes the responsibility for the choices that we make. Listen to what it says in Joshua. He says, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, Joshua speaking to the people, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in those land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Each one is free to choose whom he will serve. You're going to serve money, you're going to serve possessions, or you're going to serve the Lord. But along with this choice comes the responsibility of it. Number four is accepting our weaknesses. Accepting our weaknesses. In order for an entitled person to snap out of it and come out of it, whether it be me again or somebody else, we have to acknowledge our weaknesses. And this comes for myself. This might be the most liberating thing. When I can realize that I have a weakness, I can live with this weakness. I realize that I have weaknesses, and I can depend on others for the weaknesses that I have. And the strength that I have, I'm to share it with other people. And this is where number five is, finding your role. Finding your strength and sharing it with the other. So both, knowing my weakness and also finding my strength and sharing it with everyone else. That's why St. Peter says, as each one has received a gift, minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So we said today that the entitled individual can be healed by five things, whether it's me or someone else. Number one, we says, by humility and dependence, realizing who we are and God's great grand scheme, that we are the created being and He is the creator and we need Him and we have to depend on Him. Number two is the sense of need for connectedness. We all need love and connection in our life. Number three was taking ownership. I will never be healed from entitlement without taking ownership for my decisions and choices. Number four is accepting my weakness. And number five is finding your role and sharing your strengths with other people. May God grant us maybe use these last couple of days, this last day and the last week in the fast, to look at myself. Am I an entitled individual? And if so, let's go through these five things and see how I can heal myself. If I know somebody who's entitled, think about these things and how in a loving way I can help that person to come out of their entitlement. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.